This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome to Gillette Stadium on this Friday, June 18th. 6 weeks, Paul Perillo, until training camp starts for the New England Patriots. Eric Scalavino and Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly talking to you today. We just finished up the three-day mandatory mini camp for New England, and to some people's surprise, there was no Logan Mankins in attendance.
To your surprise.
To my surprise, and to about 75% of the fans who voted in last debate Friday.
And you know what I think about that.
Yes, I do, Paul. We don't need to say it. Goes without saying. But the surprising part,
no,
we
it,
all
Paul,
thought.
Please.
They're dumb.
The surprising part, though, was, I think, the reaction
I agree.
That Logan Mankins had to his whole contract situation that finally came to a head this past Monday, the day before minicamp started. And his comments have been well documented during the week. But that caused a significant shift, as we saw in minicamp, on the offensive line roster. This being the roster report, we'll delve into the roster.
Yeah.
Before we get into the Mankins stuff, just some quick housekeeping stuff. Last Friday, after our podcast, the Patriots sent out a release, making it official. They had made a couple of transactions, signing running back Thomas Clayton, 5'11", 222-pounder, originally from Kansas State, spent the past 3 years with San Francisco 49ers, mostly on the practice squad, was kind of a preseason star for them, but never quite got to do much in the regular season, spent almost all of last year on IR, kind of saw the handwriting on the wall that he wasn't going to be asked back, had a good workout with New England, so they signed him. And to make room somewhat, the team released wide receiver Brian Anderson, who was an undrafted rookie free agent following the 2010 NFL draft. Punter David King, the Australian, who made a go of it, but not a good enough go, so he's probably back down under. And quarterback Mike Teal, former Rutgers guy who was here for a cup of coffee, finished his cup, and now he's been asked to leave. So, and then the Patriots signed one of their draft picks, fifth-round punter Zoltan Mesko. They've continued that streak. Now it's, I think, four, Paul, draft picks have signed. We've got Taylor Price, the two linemen, offensive linemen, Welch and Larson, and now Mesko.
And Aaron Hernandez,
sorry. So the Patriots are quickly trying to take care of business with 12 draft picks again in this year's draft. I'm not too concerned that they'll finish
no
all those up by the next 6 weeks until training camp starts. But again, the biggest news of the week, obviously, Mankins not showing up, and that caused a significant turn of events on the offensive line, as we saw training camp.
We saw early on in the OTAs that Bill Belichick decided to put Nick Kazier at left guard and keep Sebastian Vollmer at right tackle with Matt Leidt at left tackle. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think he's operating under the principles of I'm going to take my five best offensive linemen, my five quote-unquote starters,
mm-hmm.
And use them all at the same time. And, I think Kazier is I suppose Leidt might have the body type to do it, but I think Kazier made the most sense to try the switch. We've been trying to talk to Nick a little bit this week.
Every day this week, and he refused.
During the mini camp, and yeah. He hasn't really spoken to us at all. So we'll have to see how
just
that all unfolds.
Because he doesn't like you.
Well, it's
doesn't
not,
like
not,
everybody,
it's
then.
Not us specifically. It's everybody.
He doesn't talk to the media.
So I thought, you'll get an opportunity to at least have a guy with starting experience. The guy is Kazier, I'm talking about, has mm-hmm. been a starter for the Patriots since he's gotten here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a third-round pick in 05, basically been entrenched at right tackle, even played the balance of his rookie season at left tackle when Leidt was out with an injury. So certainly he's not going to be wowed by the moment, going from being a backup to a starter. Now we'll see how he makes the transition inside. And that's something to watch. But I also found it interesting and something that we've been writing about this week, both on Patriots.com with your updates, Eric, and on the blog that Andy and I have been putting up there. just the rotations inside. You know, one day it was Dan Connolly.
Yep, first
which,
day it was
which,
him.
Would switch and take Kasher's place at left guard on the second play. Then on the next play, he would move to center. Copeland would come out. Kasher would go back, and mm-hmm. it was a rotation. Those three guys would play two out of every three plays. The next day it was Ryan Wendell making that transition. And then yesterday, on Thursday, when minicamp wrapped up, Matt Light wasn't out there. I think that sort of had a trickle effect. Vollmer went over to the left side.
Kasher
went out
to
right tackle.
Yep.
And then you had Conley playing the Kasher role at left guard. And Rich Ornberger was the guy rotating mm-hmm. with some of the other guys. So clearly Belichick is searching for those guys, you know, beyond Kasher, but those guys that are going to fill those roles. And we already know he likes to have his backup guards be able to play center. So any of those guards are going to have to be able to play center as well.
Right. So they're not just looking for the perfect combination of starting five. They're looking for who's versatile enough to be switched around, to be moved in case of any other injury or you know, absence of a member of that offensive line. And they, I think, to their fortune, they have a lot of guys who have that ability, and that's, you know, due to their diligent personnel department finding the type of guys who have the body type, the athleticism to do all those kind of things, both not just going from, you know, center to guard, but tackles who can play guard, guards who can move out to tackle, whatever. Versatility has always been a
right.
strength of this team and a must qualification in order to join particularly the offensive line. So you're right. I think they did a lot of that just to kind of see what they had and who could do what. When we get to training camp, we'll start to, I think, see more of a solidification of who's going to be the starting five, assuming, of course, that they don't have a resolution with Mankins. Because we're sort of assuming that he's burnt that bridge and he's not going
to
come
and
back.
And that's going to be interesting to see. You know, we're going to get into that a little bit in our debate Friday. Just to foreshadow, if you, depending on which one you see first, you might listen to this podcast before you read that. But yeah, I think that could go either way. Clearly, Mankins has a lot of work to do if he wants to come back.
Yeah.
And when I say work, I mean he's got some serious
apologizing
to make, both to the crafts, the coaching staff, and his his teammates.
His teammates
as well.
Too,
I said both,
yeah.
But it's all three.
Yeah.
He's got some work to do if he's going to come back here. Right now, it's not looking so good.
No, but there's time still, and we've seen situations throughout the NFL where there have been worse contentious negotiations, and somehow things worked out at the end. I'm still struck, Paul, by just the tone,
the
of
level
his,
of
his
discontent.
Comments.
I'm surprised that he got so disenchanted. You know, I'm not saying so fast, because obviously this is something that's been going on for over a year.
Sure.
For him.
Right.
You know, but I'm just surprised at how upset he got. I don't think he's been paying attention to, you know, like, you know, people criticize Randy Moss for the comments that he had very early in the offseason about not expecting to be back next mm-hmm. year, understanding how they do things in New England, and people criticize him for that.
But it was very calm.
I think he was very calm. But I also think he's been paying attention.
Sure.
That's the way they do it in New England.
Sure.
You know, in New England.
He was just pointing out.
They're
facts,
not
that,
into
as he saw them.
This. I'm not making this a philosophical discussion on whether or not the Patriots' philosophy is correct with regard to player salaries. But if you've been paying attention to the last 10 years, the Patriots do not like to get in situations where their players, at whatever positions they are the highest paid in the league or among the highest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not
they don't
their
like
business
to,
model.
They don't like
right.
setting the market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Randy Moss understands that. Randy Moss is probably going to be looking to be setting the market.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably going to be looking for a lot of money. And that's why he says, I won't likely be back next year. Okay? Logan Mankins, clearly, and his agent, Frank Bauer, they haven't been paying attention because they seem to be very much put off by the fact that they didn't hand over a Jari Evans contract from mm-hmm. New Orleans, who got $56-plus million and is the highest-paid guard in football.
Right. So that's going to be the story, I think, to watch for the next few weeks, month and a half or so, until we get to training camp. Don't know how much movement we're going to see in that span of time. It'll start heating up more one way or the other, whether it's working out a deal or working on a trade, as he requested, until we get to training camp, I think. That's sort of like the next logical milestone that we have to reach.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a whole lot of stuff, although I would keep an eye out for some Tom Brady news. And I'm not saying there's a signing imminent, because to my knowledge, there's not. But I think this six-week period between now and training camp might be a time that you want to address that. Once you get into training camp, certainly into the preseason, maybe early in training camp. But once you get into the preseason, I think it becomes harder. I think the games, you know, become too much in terms of worrying about those different things. But keep an eye out over the next couple of months. As we go from now to say mid August, and maybe something, you know, finally gets resolved with the Tom Brady situation.
Right. So that's what we're going to be looking forward to over the next 6 weeks or so. But that's going to do it for today's podcast. That's really all the news we have. We'll be back next Friday to talk to you again. We'll probably start
Andy Hart.
Most likely without Andy
At
Hart.
At some point,
yeah.
He's going to run out of vacation days, isn't he?
I think he already has. And I think he's just. Right? I think he's just. You know, gotten weeks. People used to the fact that he's not here on Fridays, so he doesn't show up. But we'll have to talk to HR about that. We'll probably start doing maybe some roster previewing as we get into this, as the NFL calls it, the dead portion of the off season, where there's, you know, no practices to talk about, very few transactions to talk about. So we'll start doing that. We'll give you your training camp primers as we go along in the next few weeks. But until then, it's going to be a hot one in New England this weekend. So enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.